In Shakespeare's lifetime, his epic drama Pericles, the Prince of Tyre, was one of his most popular shows. Though seldom performed over the last 200 or 300 years, it's easy to see why the Elizabethans were drawn to it. With its emphasis on spectacle, a lightweight plot driven by shipwrecks, pirate attacks, mysterious islands, evil kings, sneaky assassins, heartbreaking separations, and improbable reunions, it was like the Star Wars of its day, a magical fable that dazzled all who saw it, in spite of its being a bit of a hodgepodge and not exactly Romeo and Juliet. Gradually, though, modern audiences are rediscovering Pericles, the Prince of Tyre, seeing it for what it was always meant to be, a big, colorful parade of sweeping eye candy, a pleasantly outlandish, thimble-deep evening of entertainment and nothing more. So why exactly, in the new production that opened last week at Berkeley Repertory Theater, has director Mark Wing Davies interpreted the play as a dark, grungy, industrial punk nightmare, confining the sweep and majesty of the narrative to a set that looks like a tire factory? Using a palette of mostly grays and browns, this Pericles is packed with interesting things to look at, much of it cobbled together from bits of assembly line thingamajigs, walls of stressed brick and metal, pulleys and platforms and whirring, buzzing, humming machinery. It's interesting, but what exactly is the point? It's memorable, but, well, it's memorable. And occasionally, it does achieve a kind of sheet metal spectacle, as in the scene where Pericles' princess wife gives birth on board a ship during a brutal storm at sea, the boat suggested by a bouncing, pivoting metal platform on springs, tilting the actors forward and backward violently as the narrator provides the rain, a very real torrent of water sprayed onto the actors from a massive fire hose, soaking the set and the entire stage in a make-believe tempest that is thrilling to watch, even if it remains trapped in the visual constraints of its own Fright Factory concept. One of the best things about the show is the live orchestra, under the direction of musician Mark Gwynn, who begins the show by teaching the audience a song, and then leads a tight multi-instrumentalist band through some truly haunting and exhilarating musical accompaniment. When the aforementioned hosing down takes place, a giant waterproof curtain is drawn in front of the orchestra, perched above the stage on a second-level balcony, and the water bounces off the curtain down onto Pericles and his shipmates as the band plays on behind the curtain. Many of the director's ideas, though never boring, stray way beyond the pale, frequently obliterating whatever drama the story itself and the occasionally mesmerizing performers have managed to create. In the scene where Pericles battles a series of suitors for the hand of his beloved princess, one of the suitors is Batman, and that's just silly. And normally, I like Batman. Furthermore, the costumes that turn a single actor into three courtiers with heads of cabbage standing in for the other characters' heads look like something Darren Nichols, the theater provocateur from TV's Slings and Arrows, would have dreamed up. Still, powered by a strong performance by David Barlow as the unstoppable adventurer Pericles, this production is hardly a failure. It does something that isn't easy. It takes a forgotten play and makes it strangely unforgettable, with the emphasis on strange. Pericles runs through May 26th at Berkeley Repertory Theater, berkeleyrep.org. I'm David Templeton, second row center for KRCB.